Picture this, right? A brilliantly capable PhD student rushing into my lab meeting.
Oh yeah, papers flying everywhere, I'm sure.
Exactly, completely drenched in sweat. And they made it exactly on the dot, but they were utterly frantic, blaming like unpredictable campus traffic for the 100th time.
Which is classic. From a neuroscience perspective, living in that perpetual panic state, I mean, it just destroys any capacity for logical planning.
Because they aren't managing time, right? They're managing panic. I see it all the time as a psychology professor.
Right, because when you're running late, your brain is flooded with cortisol. You are thrust into pure survival mode.
So you just can't think straight.
You simply cannot evaluate your choices when your nervous system literally thinks you're running from a predator.
Which brings us directly to your mission for today's deep dive. We're getting you ready for week one, day five of the Laws of Life workbook.
Yeah, day five is all about applying the SHARP formula to a real event.
Right, you are going to perform, well, a behavioral postmortem on a past failure, just like that stressed out student.
And you aren't trying to change the past, obviously. And you certainly aren't just, setting an earlier alarm.
No, the key is you are looking at a stressful event right now while you are sitting completely calm.
That calmness is the biological key to this entire exercise, actually. By recalling a rushed, chaotic event while your baseline is stable, your prefrontal cortex gets to stay in the driver's seat.
The logical, analytical part of the brain.
Exactly. It can objectively scan the wreckage and identify what was actually inside your circle of control.
Without that huge cortisol spike blinding you to your own mistakes.
So you take that calm, logical brain and run it through today's diagnostic questions.
Right, you look at your past failure and ask where the SHARP formula broke down. Like, did you fail to schedule it properly?
Or neglect to head out early.
Yeah. Did you forget to anticipate obstacles, fail to review your route, or simply not prepare your materials beforehand?
You are basically hunting for the exact trigger that pushed you over the edge.
And once you pinpoint those missing elements, the workbook asks you to rate your punctuality and your unrushed focus on a scale of 1 to 10.
Right, during that specific event.
Wait, let me stop you there. Because as a psychology professor, I see this exact scale in evaluations all the time. And quite frankly, it is a trap.
Oh, you mean the self-reporting aspect?
Yeah, people are historically terrible at self-reporting. I mean, they automatically give themselves a comfortable 7 because it feels socially safe.
Right, says I'm not terrible, but sure, I have room for improvement.
Exactly. So doesn't giving someone a 1 to 10 scale just invite the brain to lie to itself?
Yeah.
Just to avoid discomfort.
It absolutely would, yeah, if the exercise stopped right there. I mean, the brain loves a blurry mirror to protect the ego.
So how does the workbook fix that?
Well, it anticipates that exact defense mechanism. After you pick your number, you don't get to just move on. You are forced to circle a definitive label for that numerical score.
Ah, so the labels are like, great, good, or I need to do much better.
Yep. So a seven suddenly looks entirely different when you are forced to categorize it.
Oh, wow. It strips away all the ambiguity.
Exactly. You cannot hide behind a mathematically average number anymore. You have to consciously admit that your safe, comfortable seven actually falls squarely into the I need to do much better bucket.
That is brilliant. It forces cognitive clarity right through that natural ego defense.
But that forced honesty is just the spark. A single realization doesn't rewire a whole nervous system.
Which is why we have to talk about repetition. To actually cement this, you must maintain your daily 3 times a day review.
Right, the mental code rewrite.
Yeah, your stack of code rewrites, your top distill points, and your selected quotes.
And that routine extends right up until your head hits the pillow, right? Tonight's bedtime question is crucial.
The one asking how you will spend your limited temporal capital on this earth.
Yes, and there is a biological imperative for doing this at night. During sleep, your brain actively prunes irrelevant data.
And strengthens the neural connections tied to high emotional resonance, right?
Exactly. Going to sleep focused on the preciousness of your time literally tags those new behavioral habits as essential for survival. It physically hardwires them into your long-term memory.
Which sets the perfect foundation for tomorrow. Day 6 is the self-audit.
We are almost at the end of week one already.
I know. Which means tomorrow is the moment to pull back, look at the big picture, and reflect on the hidden behavioral patterns you've uncovered over the last few days.
The heavy lifting of the week will really start to crystallize for you.
But before you get to that work, here is a totally different angle to consider tonight. As you evaluate your daily struggles with the clock, ask yourself this:
Okay, let's hear it.
is our modern obsession with being on time even biologically natural to begin with? Or is it simply an artificial industrial-era construct designed to force our natural circadian rhythms into rigid corporate boxes?
Oh, that is a great question to leave off on.
Right. Just something to chew on while you analyze your relationship with time today. Good luck with day 5.